This is Pure Decking, show number 571 for Thursday, July the 25th, 1950. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and flubbing the intro, apparently. I need to redo my setup here and take the broadcast box off my KVM, which means you won't get the lovely USB dings as I'm flipping around between screens starting the show anymore, It doesn't like the KV, the little Mac Mini we use for recording and broadcasting the show does not like the KVM. If I haven't switched to it in a length of time, it will ignore the keyboard and mouse input, I guess because they're not Mac keyboard and mice, and you know, God forbid you use non-Apple accessories. And it just won't wake up. I have to get up and hit the power button on the back of the thing, which, if you understood the setup of my room, is kind of a pain in the ass, because I've got this tower of LAC tables with laptops and machines and Raspis and stuff in it, so it's kind of, the button is kind of buried, and it's been annoying me for a while, but I haven't had time to redo my desk, and I should stop bitching. Madman, we have a Madman. What's up?
The internet hates me, and your problem hasn't annoyed you enough yet. That's why it's still there.
Well, you really shouldn't have been insulting the internet's mother like that.
Well, I can't help that it's a whore.
Fair enough. And
overly priced.
And we have an RU.
Long, slow week.
If you're ignoring politics.
Exactly. And I've been trying to do that this week. I'm trying to stay away from the assassination talk. I just want to leave it to a coincidence.
Oh, the mainstream
here.
Mainstream has already moved beyond that. They're already saying, "Oh, that's old news. Nobody cares about that." And
I know
they're currently fellatiating. Well,
yeah. Stay away from that too. Like, God damn it.
Willie Brown's already been that far up into it. Do you really want a sloppy seconds?
I just want to be unburdened by what has been.
Like facts in history.
Yeah. It's, you know, time to put facts down for a while and talk about feelings.
Well, I mean, the playbook is straight out of 1984. No, she was never the border czar. Yeah, she was. That was like the first thing. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, no, she wasn't. It's like, that's misinformation. No, it's not. Okay, maybe it wasn't an official title, but she was tasked with it. What the fuck? It's not even that I care. It's just, like, the blatant, just, no, we're rewriting this history. What do you, see your telescreens for updated information. It's just like, what the fuck, man?
Would you like to know more?
Yeah, there you go. It's like, I get politicking, but could you do the blatant shit?
It's almost like they think that the public has a memory of a goldfish. Oh, yeah, it does. Fuck.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stop because we'll end up on politics all night if I don't.
Yep.
So instead, let's talk about CrowdStrike.
Yay, because no one fucking spoke about CrowdStrike. Happened 4 hours after we went off air.
Yeah.
Fucking biggest story of the week when we had no fucking stories. Jesus, come on, give us a break.
So the article I have is from the BBC. It's not about what CrowdStrike, well, it's not directly about the CrowdStrike outage. Everyone knows what happened. Everyone also knows that Delta doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, because a week out and they're still canceling thousands of flights because they still haven't recovered from this, which just shows you how little slack Delta has in their schedule. They have literally no room for error. And anyone who's ever been to the airport knows it's full of error. So it's just like, I don't know how you have a company that hasn't been like taken into receivership or just had the entire executive board taken out behind the barn and shot for the way they're running this thing. I'm not calling for death. I'm just confused how it hasn't happened yet.
the incompetency crisis is just beginning, Morps. The last 10 years, we've installed people who have no fucking place being in those positions. And now we're about to reap what we've sown.
Much like 1984, Idiocracy was not a how-to guide.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the original text, Brave New World. Anyways, I don't know. Let's do the CrowdStrike story. CrowdStrike is facing fresh backlash after giving staff and firms they work with a $10 Uber Eats voucher to say sorry for a global IT outage that caused chaos across airlines, banks, hospitals last week. They sent out $10 Uber Eats coupon codes. Not even gift cards, just a little coupon code and an email. Like, one to a company, right? Like, so, okay, you're doing business with a bank, so they sent the bank a $10 Uber Eats card to say sorry.
Okay, if they're saying sorry, are they admitting fault?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm just saying.
I don't think they denied fault. I don't think they actually did, but...
Well, how could they?
Well, I mean, if the state of our politics is anything to go off, it'd be blatantly and hoping people don't notice.
Dude, I'm pretty sure with the accountability factor that we have today in society, the CEO could have gotten shit-faced drunk at 9 in the morning, pissed on the servers, crashed them all, come out and went, I did that. Did you see what I did? What the fuck are you going to do about it, huh? And then just keep on going. Because no one's going to do shit.
That's the problem, though, is there's well, in CrowdStrike's case, there are other companies you could switch to for that kind of intrusion detection. It's host-based intrusion detection software, if anybody who's not aware of what CrowdStrike actually... Okay, so let me summarize that. CrowdStrike is similar to an antivirus, but rather than looking for spyware and viruses and malware, CrowdStrike is doing behavior monitoring on your endpoints. Endpoints is corporate speak for a computer, whether it's a server, a workstation, or whatever. So it's watching what's going on, and then if it starts seeing a whole bunch of files get encrypted by a process that's new on the system, it's going to throw alerts. You can get a lot more granular with it, but the crypto ransomware is kind of the easy example of what this stuff is supposed to look for. The reason this affected so many things is because there's a lot of federal guidance in regulated industries saying that you have to have this kind of behavior analytics software on a machine to be compliant with all kinds of different, ISO regs, government regs, things like that. So that's why it was banks, hospitals, and airlines, heavily regulated industries, because they're required to have this stuff. A lot of companies that aren't required to have it won't have it because A, it's really fucking expensive, and B, it's a pain in the ass to manage correctly. It's not that hard to just throw it on a machine and let it run with the defaults, but the moment you find something that doesn't play nice with it, it gets stupid quickly. Yes, we use CrowdStrike where I work, so this is how I know about it. A lot of people swapped to it because CrowdStrike was one of the ones that was meeting a lot of these regulatory requirements as far as being able to put in the paperwork. It's sort of like Symantec or McAfee in that when you have a regulator, they just weren't questioning that, oh, okay, yeah, that's the right tool, as opposed to showing up with some other software nobody's ever heard of.
It's industry standard.
It's industry standard for intrusion prevention. Absolutely. So, basically you're supposed to use it to profile what your users do on a particular system. And then if you ever have drastic deviation from that, start throwing alerts. And by alerts, that could just be something pops up in a feed somewhere so that, somebody at a desk gets an email and says, hey, go do this. If you have a more advanced system, it might pop up, and whatever that advanced system is, you could kick off automated tasks. You could have it start doing things, like blocking whatever the weird action is, popping up alerts on the desktop of the end user, or locking out the machine. Like, you know, if, as a good example, going back to the crypto ransomware, if it just starts encrypting files across the network on a new executable nobody's ever seen before, you could have it actually lock out the machine, like cut off its network access and lock itself down so that, you know, to prevent the activity. And those kind of rules are actually pretty useful to have, because if you have, you know, one of these things get loose in your network, or if you have, well, we've got a story about a North Korean guy who got hired. We'll get to that in a few minutes. You know, something like that. Supposedly this software can be, you know, and if it's well configured and well managed, which hint, they never are, it could be, you know, very good at preventing this kind of thing. The problem is the same problem all corporate IT shops have, is that nobody has the time or the expertise to run this stuff properly, because you basically need a team sitting there monitoring the thing full time to make proper use of it, and nobody will commit the resources to doing that because it's very expensive, and you need. And you can't just, you know, hire college grads to monitor this stuff. You need people who actually have some experience, because when you put people who are very, very green on this kind of monitoring system, they don't know what they're looking at a lot of times, because they haven't seen these kinds of systems, or they don't have much experience with them. And at least in my experience, what they're teaching them in schools these days for cybersecurity and even just IT administration is not actual IT administration. They have screenshots of various bits of software and desktops, and you can't make mistakes in them. You can only click the right thing. It's basically a flash animation where you have to click the right hotspot to move to the next slide. But
oh God, I hated that tutorial program.
Those stupid simulators, because with those simulators, you can't make a mistake. You can't do the wrong thing. And anybody who's actually tried to build a network for real knows that you can spend days in the wrong part of the operating system digging at the wrong thing because you missed a checkbox or a config flag back at the beginning. And these tutorials don't, and these training things don't let you do that. They don't let you make the kind of mistakes you need to make. And they don't have real users with real traffic doing real work. So you can't see what the actual network looks like. So when you then tell somebody who's only worked in these simulators and out of books, okay, go watch this system, and if you see something bad, block it, you're going to be getting all kinds of phone calls from all kinds of people with very impressive job titles saying, why can't I do my job? Why can't I do this? Your software is blocking it. And usually these kinds of people are saying, you've just cost us $1 million deal, so whatever it is you just did, take that software off my machine. And these kinds of people are usually high enough up in the company that you can't just say, sorry, policy says you get this agent on your machine. You actually have to explain to them that the regulators require it and somebody's just made a mistake. And when you say somebody's made a mistake, you know what they're going to say? Fire them. So, yeah, good times, right?
But also thinking it's not just because they're new. If it's monitoring your network,
you need to know your network.
What's abnormal for my network isn't abnormal for your network necessarily.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct, Madman. You have to know your network. You have to know what's going on it. You have to know what's normal. And you're going to find they're set up completely differently across different companies. Completely differently. You know, you'll find people who've done Active Directory completely ass backwards, not because the people who set it up were wrong or couldn't figure out which end of the propeller went on the hat, because they learned it on NetWare. And NetWare was backwards compared to how Active Directory does it for organizing objects. And you'll find shit like that. So, you know, when you don't have a lot of experience with what's going on in the system, the ability to do a little bit of interpretive next level thinking, you know, monitoring tools like this gets really hard. And on top of that, given the turnover in a lot of these fields, even your senior people probably don't really know what's going on in the network. And
hopefully they were given a map, which I already know most network people
don't
have for some reason.
They don't have the map because nobody gives them the time to make it. they say, hey, I need to document. Well, we don't care about that. We've got these five other applications that need to go in, and we've got a help desk full of people bitching, and get back to fixing the real problems. I've had managers say, do not call my network people directly. They don't have time to talk to you. Send everything through me. Which is really funny, because then their network people call me anyways about other things. So, you know, I actually said to one of them in a meeting one time, so your people are special, and they're allowed to call us and ask questions, but we're not allowed to call them and ask questions. And his manager, without missing a beat, said yes. Now, it made him look like an asshole in front of a whole bunch of other people, but he didn't, he thought he was right. Now, I have an understanding that apparently he had a conversation with some people after that comment was made, and that they backed down a little bit, but still, it's like, you know, they're, most of these teams are running too lean to ever give people the time they need to properly document, properly configure. It's go to the next thing, because they want, you know, it's profit driven, right? What's, you know, sitting there drawing up documentation is seen as a cost with no benefit. Never mind the fact that you are saving so many hours of investigation and digging the next time somebody changes roles, but they usually don't see that in the moment. So, but enough about bitching about my job. Let's get back to, yeah, the cybersecurity company. I'm back to the article here. I'm done. I got off on a tangent. I meant to just explain what CrowdStrike was, and somehow a corporate culture came up. The cybersecurity company, whose software update on Friday affected 8.5 million computers worldwide, said, and by the way, that's less than 1% of Windows machines. Less than 1% of Windows machines going down caused that. You want to see how dependent we're getting on this shit?
Those Windows machines were just attached to very important shit.
Yep.
That's how this shit's going to work going forward, man.
It said to its partners that it recognized the incident had caused extra work. Quote, to express our gratitude, your next cup of coffee or late night snack is on us, unquote. CrowdStrike wrote, directing people to a code to access the $10 credit. But the gesture was greeted by derision by some. One Reddit user branded it as an absolute clown show, while another said, I literally wanted to drive my car off a bridge this weekend, and they bought me a coffee. Nice. Oh, yeah, people who were dealing with this, because they were up all night, especially when the issue hadn't been identified correctly yet, you just had machines boot looping or BSODing. And it was just, yeah, because CrowdStrike, they put out a bad config that basically caused a memory. I think it was a buffer. I forgot the. I did the read up on this earlier, but now I've forgotten it.
So 8.1 million
bad driver in the kernel caused it to crash out.
They're looking to get out of this for 80 million. Unless my math is off, and it probably is because I suck at math.
Oh, they weren't sending it out per computer affected. These were going to like accounts. So
okay, so less than that from a company worth $61.85 billion. I'm just trying to figure out how much they're getting out of this for.
This is somebody in their PR department saying, we solved it.
Uh-huh. Look, sir, I figure it's going to cost a little bit of money, but it's not going to cost that much money. Here, let's just... flip our customers off and tell them how much we really do care. Here's a $10 DoorDash. You fuck. Yeah, whoever's running the PR there and is getting away with this shit is a god.
One LinkedIn user claiming to be a CrowdStrike partner said, quote, the gesture of a cup of coffee or Uber Eats credit as an apology doesn't seem to make up for the tens of thousands lost in man hours and customer trust to the July 19th incident.
Can you even get a cup of coffee delivered for $10?
Nope.
It's going to be more than $10.
Anytime you use one of these delivery services, they have a minimum charge on them. And if you don't meet that minimum charge, they will tack a small order fee, which basically brings it to the minimum charge. So I don't have Uber Eats in my area, so I've never used them. But
the head of CrowdStrike has apologized, fallen on his sword, and retired, hasn't he?
Not yet.
Why not?
Oh, I'm sure something's gonna happen. But
if I'm a shareholder, dude, I want your head, motherfucker.
But yeah, a lot of these at least on DoorDash, I think it's like a $13 minimum order, $12 minimum order, something like that. So the $10 doesn't even cover that. You're still got to spend on it. And if you're in an area that doesn't have Uber Eats, guess what? You can't even use it. CrowdStrike confirmed to the BBC that it sent the vouchers, quote, to teammates and partners, unquote, who helped customers deal with the impact of the outage. In other words, that's going to be people who had accounts on their support portal. But some people who said they had received a voucher also took to social media to say it did not work. Quote, Uber flagged it as fraud because of the high usage rates, unquote, CrowdStrike admitted.
No, they didn't even.
So they didn't even properly fund it because Uber Eats cut it off.
So kids, if you're having a bad day, things just aren't going your way, don't feel bad about it. Just think of these guys. And they're trying not to fuck up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is just insanity.
It comes amid growing questions over what financial compensation CrowdStrike customers and people impacted by the outage will be able to claim. The firm has pledged to improve its software tests after a faulty content update for Windows systems called the mass IT outage. Its mistake resulted in problems for banks, hospitals, and airlines as millions of PCs displayed blue screens of death. In a detailed review of the incident published on Wednesday, CrowdStrike said there was a bug in the system designed to ensure software updates work properly. CrowdStrike said the glitch meant problematic content data in a file went undetected. It flagged part of the Windows kernel as malware and tried to kill it. It's essentially what happened. The company said it could prevent the incident from happening again with better software testing and checks, including more scrutiny from developers. Oh, okay. So for anybody who doesn't understand what that just said, the company said it could prevent the incident from happening again with better software testing and checks, including more scrutiny from developers. What that is, that's whoever this BBC reporter was talking to was not probably one of the direct PR people. They went and found somebody on the testing team at CrowdStrike and got a quote from them. That's somebody who's in middle management at CrowdStrike on the testing team saying, you all don't resource me properly and I'm airing the dirty laundry to a reporter. That's what that line is.
But the reporter was too stupid to hear it.
Yep. Because he just put it in there as, well, they said this. No, the company didn't say that. Some manager who thinks his department is underfunded said that. And he's trying to take advantage of the situation to get more budget. The faulty update crashed 8.5 million Windows computers around the world. And George Kurtz, CrowdStrike's boss, has apologized for the impact of the outage. Yeah, apologies are free. What are you really doing? But
well, I gave you a $10 fucking yeah, Uber right? voucher. What more do you want? This company's hurting. Its bottom line is crushed.
Well, their stock has crashed.
I don't know, dude. It looks pretty good on the chart I'm looking at.
Oh, really? Did it come back up?
No, not really, but it's not as bad as you'd think it would be.
Yeah, it's probably only like a 10 or 15% hit. And that's because a lot of people are in year-long contracts, so they can't just immediately cancel out of it. But cybersecurity.
I mean, the end of May, dude, they near doubled their stock price. And then after the crash, after they fucked everything up.
Well, they had that whole, you know, CrowdStrike's the proper tool to use thing going on. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that their stock was high. And of course, a lot of people went, ooh, buying opportunity after this happened, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But it hasn't really kicked back up like you'd think people would be getting it at the bottom.
Oh, it'll eventually come back, but it'll take
come
some
back
time.
Up. Like if you're looking to pick up some stocks, yeah, I wouldn't go far. CrowdStrike will come back because people have very short memories.
We are not financial experts. At least I don't play one on TV. Don't take stock tips from us.
I keep coins on the floor. That's my level of financial fucking expertise.
Cybersecurity experts told BBC News that the review revealed the firm had made major mistakes. Quote, what's clear from the post-mortem is that they didn't seem to have the right guardrails in place to prevent this type of incident or to reduce the risk of it occurring, unquote, said cybersecurity consultant Daniel Card. His thoughts were echoed by cybersecurity researcher Kevin Beaumont, who said the key lesson from CrowdStrike's review is that the firm doesn't test in waves. They just deployed all customers at once, so so-called rapid response update, which is obviously a huge mistake, unquote. He said, you know, they're not even A-B testing. Okay, add Morps to the list of people who says they fucked up. You know, hot takes only here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not even doing A/B testing. What's their in-house? Do they not have in-house testing? Do they not at least deploy to an in-house set of systems overnight?
I think they've gone and done a Boeing. You know, like, is it good enough? Yep, fucking, I checked it. Boom, gone. You know,
yeah.
I'm just checking my own work here.
But Sam Kirkman from cybersecurity firm NetSPI told the BBC the review showed CrowdStrike, quote, took steps, unquote, to prevent the outage. He said that these steps have likely been effective to prevent incidents on countless occasions prior to last week. That's probably true. Doing internal reviews and stuff like that will work up until it doesn't. The problem is that, so when you have a non-robust system, and it's even worse when it appears robust, it will work up until it doesn't. And that's the problem. If you haven't realized that there are gaps, you won't know that there's gaps because you think you have a system in place to plug those gaps up until you don't. And that's... anyways. According to insurance firm Parametrics, the top 500 U.S. companies by revenue, excluding Microsoft, have faced some $5.4 billion in financial losses from the outage. It said that only $450 million to $1.08 billion of those losses were insured. Ouch. U.S. government has opened investigations into Delta Airlines' handling of the outage after it continues to cancel hundreds of flights. Delta Chief Executive Ed Bastin said in a customer letter on Wednesday, or a letter to customers on Wednesday, it expects the airline to make a full recovery on Thursday. CrowdStrike is set to face further scrutiny with Mr. Kurtz called to testify in front of Congress about the outage. Quote, this incident must serve as a broader warning about the national security risks associated with network dependency, unquote, wrote House Committee on Homeland Security in a letter to the company on Monday. Gave CrowdStrike until Wednesday evening to schedule a hearing. So we'll see what ends up happening. But the gag of this article is that most of the screenshots they're showing are of Macs.
Yeah, because BBC are just that fucking good at reporting these days.
Anyways, luckily, my team, all of our machines that were on CrowdStrike had already been migrated, so and I didn't get hit too badly at work that day, but I have a lot of coworkers who were grumpy.
I can imagine.
There's a lot of people who are off this weekend.
You had a day off week. For that madman, didn't you?
I had a slow work day, but most of the stuff I do doesn't require anything that was touching CrowdStrike.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of IT people who are out next week. They put in a bunch of PTO right after that last weekend. I can't blame them.
The best part about it, they push it out on a Friday. Yeah.
Oh, CrowdStrike does updates a lot more often than daily. They're pretty much constantly pushing them. The problem is now you don't trust that they've fully vetted them before they push them. And it doesn't sound like they're doing waves or A/B testing. They're just pushing them, which I kind of get. I added
CrowdStrike to my untrustworthy fucking list.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that list is getting longer and longer and longer. Well,
I understand the mentality where they're coming from, right? They think, hey, we've got to prevent bad actors. When we see something new going on in the field, we have to react to it right away. Because, you know, if we don't, then some, you know, hacker could get in there and cause a lot of damage or steal a lot of data. And, hey, why didn't CrowdStrike prevent this? So I get there in the catch 22 of if they don't patch it quickly enough, why didn't you stop the bad thing from happening? But at the same time, if you're moving too quickly and you break shit, why are you breaking shit? You know, it's
damned if you do, damned if you don't. Sometimes
it kind of is, and that's the situation. I mean, that's the situation in computer security all the time, because if you're doing your job perfectly, nothing will happen. And so people say, "Well, nothing's happening. What are you doing?" And then, of course, if something does happen, oh my God, how did you let this happen? So it is a catch 22, but it's in CrowdStrike's case, part of the way they sell themselves is doing all these trusted updates and management so that you don't have to worry about shit getting taken out at, you know, Friday evening. Whoops. Going into the weekend. So, anyways. Next article, or do you guys still want to beat up CrowdStrike some more?
I'm good on that, man.
Next article is from 404media.co. Google is now the only search engine that can surface results from Reddit, making one of the web's most valuable repositories of user-generated content. Valuable? Eh. Of user-generated content exclusive to the internet's already dominant search engine. If you use Bing, DuckDuckGo, what? Ah! I read it earlier. It showed the whole article. Now it's, well, fine. We're only going to talk about the first part of it because they've cut it off saying, please subscribe. That wasn't there when I read it earlier. So it's like, eh, fuck you. If you use Bing, DuckDuckGo, Mojik, Quant, or any other alternative search engine that doesn't rely on Google's indexing and search Reddit by using site reddit.com, you will not see any results from the last week. DuckDuckGo is currently turning up 7 links when searching Reddit, but provides no data on where the links go or why, instead only saying, we would like to show you a description here, but the site won't allow us. Older results still show up, but these search engines are no longer able to crawl Reddit, meaning that Google is the only search engine that will turn up results from Reddit going forward. Searching for Reddit still works on Kaggy, an independent paid search engine that buys parts of its index off Google. News shows how Google's new monopoly on search is now actively hindering other companies' ability to compete. So the article cut it off, but pretty much it went into how Reddit was trying to block out AI companies from scraping it unless they paid them. And I guess Google actually said okay and paid them. So now they're blocking anybody else from scraping the site or spidering the site, I guess, unless they pay Reddit for the privilege. It's an interesting scenario because if you try to search Reddit on anything other than Google, it's actually blocked, not for any technical reason, but because there's an agreement with Google. I feel like this must fall afoul of antitrust somehow, but I'm not sure how.
I don't know if it was something anyone can purchase into and Google's the only one doing it. Google's not violating antitrust.
Yeah, I don't know because the article didn't cover the things of the agreement, and now 404 Media is blocking me from seeing the rest of it because they want a subscription, which isn't going to happen. So we're not going to talk about the rest of the ad article, but it's just, it's an interesting tactic of flat out blocking your competitor, your search engines, unless they pay you for the privilege, which granted, very few websites are big enough to pull that off. But,
I just went over to DuckDuckGo, right?
Yep.
I put in Reddit dank dark memes. I found it.
Well, DuckDuckGo would be one that would just try to get around it or would flat out pretend to be Google one spidering the site. But yeah, if this article's right, you shouldn't see anything from like the last week. It should all be older than that.
Oh, I wouldn't know what. I don't visit Reddit daily, so I wouldn't know what's old and what's new.
Well, let's just try it. Let's see. Yeah, I usually use DuckDuckGo. I'm just saying. Well, so site Reddit. Let's see. Reddit. Would you search dark memes?
Yeah.
Dark memes.
Dank memes. Whatever you want to do.
The subreddit index itself comes up, but I'm sure that was already. I'm getting links to subreddits. I'm not getting any links to individual posts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't looking for individual posts. I was looking for subs.
Yeah, this is all stuff that's already going to be previously indexed.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, here's the first entry. It's Dark Side Are Memes. That's actually somebody's post, and that's from 3 months ago.
Okay. So, no, I was just checking.
Yeah.
I wasn't calling bullshit on the story or anything. I just wanted to see for myself, but I don't use Reddit enough to care.
Fair enough, and it's just interesting that they're able to pull that off more than anything. And like I was saying earlier, I feel like this must somehow fall afoul of antitrust, but like Madman says, it probably doesn't.
It sounds like search by subscription soon.
Well, every website's going to try to get a subscription out of you soon because everybody's using ad blockers. Maybe because people overdid it with the fucking ads and just pissed everybody off. And so now everybody uses ad block, not to mention the fucking malware. So.
Dude, it'll just evolve into a different creature. Internet's sort of alive in a way. Keeps evolving.
That's fair.
Oh, man. The more corporate intrusion, the further the real internet hides itself. It becomes a little bit harder to be free.
Well, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. One of the stories was how nobody's using public internet stuff anymore. Everybody's kind of scrolled away in little community groups, things like Discord, our TeamSpeak server, things like that. Because then you know you're at least talking to real people as opposed
That's what I'm saying. Like the free part of the internet where you can just go and be, I don't know, a dog, because no one knows you're a dog on the internet. You know, and just do your thing without corporate intrusion, like having to sign in or fucking password this third party application, that fucking turn this off to view that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The old internet's death was the day that LiveLeak disappeared, and this is just pure corporate now.
Need the it's already dead meme at this point.
Well, I do subscribe to the dead internet theory, but only in certain areas. I think it's just bots talking to bots. But I think they're corporate bots talking to corporate bots.
There is a lot of that going on.
And then whenever actual humans get involved, they're like, oh my God, why are you saying that everything's fucking terrible? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah, this is product. This is great. This is great. This is great. This is great. And then people get the product and they're like, don't buy this. This is terrible. This is terrible. Why are you hating on our company? This is ridiculous. Stop fucking hate bashing us. It's like the article yesterday with Grand Theft Auto 6. People are already going, I don't want this piece of shit. And they're going, stop saying that. Just buy it. You won't know until you buy it. People are like, the gaming industry has got a really bad reputation right now. We're not trusting anything. And the corporate was getting pissed off that people were complaining that they didn't want the product. Dude, listen to your customer base. Like, everyone knows Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to be the most woke piece of shit that'll kill off the Grand Theft Auto franchise. And I, for one, can't wait.
Well, I thought they already killed it off when they haven't put out a new Grand Theft Auto since 5, which was like 10 years ago.
Dude, Grand Theft Auto 5 was garbage. The story was too short. There wasn't enough to do. And they pretty much tried to make it a microtransaction fucking game.
I mean, they're just going to do like Skyrim and just re-release it every couple of years and say, buy Skyrim.
No, I think they're going to put out Grand Theft Auto 6, but any of the rumors or any of the pre-done stuff that people have found, they're just going, no, I don't want this. This sounds terrible.
And people are and the corporate types are losing their mind, because what do you mean you don't like this?
Yeah,
our analytics and our bots tell us this is great.
Yeah, they say, stop talking shit about us because you're making our product sound like crap before it's even come out. Well, how do you think that started? Like the corporations have sort of lost the idea of public consensus for their product. They're just sort of going, well, here you go. Here's our product. If you don't like it, please don't complain about it, because we don't want to know that we put out a bad product. Or they just turn around and start hating their customers, which is fine by me.
Well, that's Disney's, you know, complaint. Anybody who posts a bad review is a racist or a phobe or something.
Oh, yeah. So? That's my fucking attitude now. So, how did you know I was? Yeah, I know I am, but how did you know? I think the ists and the phobe thing has pretty much worn its welcome, and people just don't give a fuck anymore.
Well, that's the bad part, is now, you know, that charge used to actually carry some weight, and it's been so overused that now,
yep,
you know, it's like, oh, you're a racist. Okay, have a nice day.
Oh, you're a Nazi. Awesome. I dress well, and I'm polite. Great.
So
they fucked up all those words by overusing them.
So great. What do you call it when you have an actual, you know, Nazi or an actual racist? Because those words don't mean anything anymore.
I'm telling you right now, if you've ever met an active Nazi, you won't fucking know he's an active Nazi or she's an active Nazi. They won't have tattoos and they don't dress like douchebags. They're very well dressed and they keep their ideas to themselves.
Well, there's that too. So anyways, let's do this next story from ours. This one's just funny. Well, it's not funny because it's terrible, but it's kind of funny. North Korean hacker got hired by U.S. security vendor immediately loading malware. Just immediately. KnowBefore, which provides security awareness training, was fooled by a stolen ID. That's the bad part.
Is it DUI hire?
No.
At Dubin.
I don't know about that.
No, Asians are dumped in with white people in my country, are you?
Okay.
The funniest part is that they have a picture, the picture that was submitted, and they figured out that it was an AI retouch of a business stock photo. It's like, just make it look young and Asian.
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the photo. It's not a bad AI touch. The hair is a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
If you look at the right-hand side of the head, it's a little too blurry. But yeah, at a glance, man, I would expect HR to figure that out. Because yeah. Let's face it, HR aren't exactly up there for IQ.
So what this the crazy part is, what this company does is like anti-phishing training?
Fuck off.
KnowBefore, a U.S.-based security vendor, revealed that it unwittingly hired a North Korean hacker who attempted to load malware into the company's network. KnowBefore CEO and founder Stu Soderman described the incident in a blog post yesterday, calling it a cautionary tale that was fortunately detected before causing any major problems. Quote, first of all, no illegal access was gained and no data was lost, compromised, or exfiltrated on any KnowBefore system, unquote, Soderman wrote. I'm saying that name horribly wrong, but it's spelled very Indian, so I'm just guessing. Quote, this is not a data breach notification. There was none. See it as an organizational learning moment I am sharing with you. If it can happen to us, it can happen to almost anyone. Off. Don't let it happen to you, unquote. And you know what? Fair ball on them for saying, hey, this happened. You know, at least they're admitting
it. Yeah, but I'm a bank. I get robbed. Well, it was an operational training learning system. You know, fuck off.
if you're the bank that got robbed, but you caught the dudes in the man trap and they didn't get away with any of the money, it's an operational learning situation. Because they're saying nothing went wrong. We found this guy before he did any damage. Now we're going to figure out how to prevent this from happening again. And hell, possibly offer him a job. Can you give us any ins in North Korea?
KnowBefore said it was looking for a software engineer for its internal IT AI team. The firm hired a person who, it turns out, was from North Korea and was using a, quote, valid but stolen U.S.-based identity and a photo that was enhanced by artificial intelligence. There is now an active FBI investigation amid suspicion that the worker is what KnowBefore's blog post called an insider threat nation-state actor, unquote. And actually, it's not even unlikely that the guy's from North Korea. This is one of their tactics. North Korea's actively tries to get people hired, not from North Korea. They usually send them to other countries to, you know, do this. But they'll send somebody who's been trained up. Oh, Middle East is usually fairly, you know, some parts of Egypt,
China.
Yeah, they'll try to get them in the States too, but usually that's hard. And they'll try to get them.
Oh, hired. Oh no, at the moment, dude, they're just coming over the southern border.
Well, there's that. But they'll try to get them, you know, well, they want them to have legitimate paperwork because they want to get them hired into companies, because it's a lot easier to just have somebody give you access because you have a job there than it is to try to bribe somebody for access or to actually hack into some of these networks.
I think North Korea would have an easier at this than a lot of other countries for one simple reason. You know that every North Korean citizen is a citizen of South Korea?
I'm sure they take advantage of that.
So you just have them pretend to be a North Korean refugee, get their South Korean paperwork, and then hop over to the U.S. on a student visa or unemployment visa.
Doesn't South Korea go through, I think it's like a 5 or 6 year reintroduction?
They do put you through a reintroduction camp. I don't know how long it is.
I don't want to call it a camp, but you know what I mean.
Well, it's usually because a lot of the true North Korean refugees.
Culture shock.
Big culture shock whenever you get to see more food in one store than you saw in a year. Yeah. Where you came from.
Oh, they have to stop them from eating themselves to death. They have no concept of what heavy traffic is, let alone a light system.
And then teaching them the dialect of South Korean, because they've been separated long enough that it's kind of like American English and British English.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hell, you talk to Americans. Between American English and Aussie English.
Wait. Why do they call cookies biscuits? I don't get that. Biscuits are a completely different thing.
We'll talk about after the show, man.
Sorry,
I couldn't. I have no idea at this point. You know, fries and chips, two different things. That was a weird conversation a couple weeks ago.
Well, it wouldn't be so weird, except we use the word chips for something else.
I know.
Yeah, crisps.
My problem is having to switch from American English back to British English when I'm talking in Australia.
Oh, no.
Well, there's a lot of different words for like cars, like hood and trunk, things like that.
Sure.
We have boot and bonnet
and boot. Yeah.
The windscreen instead of the windshield.
Yep. And you got to switch in between that. It can get.
Never minding metric and freedom units.
Well, that's never been an issue with me because I've had cars that I've had both. So I've had to learn both. And also, too, when I was tiling, you'd get the imperial and metric as well in different tile sizes. So that's something we've always had to deal with, where Americans are sort of stuck in that one track mind. You know what I mean?
Well, I do know. I know exactly what you mean, because when I first started learning for 3D printing, everything for 3D printing is done in metric.
And yeah.
I knew metric. I've used metric.
That's the measurement of God, and we all, you know, follow him.
But I hadn't had to live in metric until then, and it was a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
So
I mean, as an Australian, I've had both from day dot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we learn both systems. I don't know about the kids today. I don't even think they know how to fucking read a tape measure. But also, too, kids, be very wary about buying tape measures that have been made after the 90s. Just saying.
Or at least check them.
If you're looking to get into the trades, buy a secondhand tape measure from an op shop or something like that that's at least 10 years old.
Yeah, I checked some cheap tape measures that I had bought specifically to cut up to use the elements for an antenna. And, they were off, like, a lot.
Look, if I recommend a brand, it'd be Lufkin. They seem to be pretty good, but they're very expensive.
So,
but they'll last forever.
That's usually why you cut a foot, because the first bit of measurement is sometimes off on a tape measure. At least that's what I was always told when I was measuring.
You always check your. This is what I mean, man. You can't trust shit anymore.
Okay. Anyways, let's wrap up the story. KnowBefore operates in 11 countries and is headquartered in Florida. It provides security awareness training, including phishing security tests to corporate customers. If you occasionally receive fake phishing email from your employer, you might be working for a company that uses the KnowBefore service to test its employees' ability to spot scams. KnowBefore hired the North Korean hacker through its usual process. Quote, we posted the job, received resumes, conducted interviews, performed background checks, verified references, and hired the person. We sent them their Mac workstation, and the moment it was received, it immediately started to load malware, the company said. It's like, dude didn't even try to establish an identity. He just tried to go down.
I mean, must have been first time, you know what I mean? Got overexcited, fucking nutted too quick.
Even though the photo provided to HR was fake, the person who interviewed the job apparently looked enough like it to pass. KnowBefore's HR team conducted four video conferences based on interviews on separate occasions, confirming the individual matched the photo provided in the application. Unquote. The post said, quote, additionally, a background check and all other standard pre-hiring checks were performed and came back clear due to the stolen identity being used. This is a real person using a valid but stolen U.S.-based identity. The picture was AI enhanced, unquote. The 2 inches at the top of the story are a stock photo, and what KnowBefore says is the AI fake based on the stock photo. Stock photo is on the left, AI fake is on the right. For anyone who doesn't know their left from the right, the fake one's the Asian one. The employee referred to as XXXX in the blog post was hired as a principal software engineer. The new hire's suspicious activities were flagged by security software, leading KnowBefore Security Operations Center to investigate. On July 15th, 2024, a series of suspicious activities were detected on the user beginning at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Alerts came in before KnowBefore's SOC team reached out to the user to inquire about the anonymous activity and possible cause. 4X's responded to SOC that he was following steps on his router guide to troubleshoot a speed issue and that it may have caused a compromise. The fuck? Wow. If I was on a SOC and I'm calling somebody, so I was trying to cause a speed issue and it may have caused it. It's like, if you're a principal software engineer, you know better. The fuck? Anyways, the attacker performed various actions to manipulate session history files, potentially transfer harmful files, and execute unauthorized software. Used a Raspberry Pi to download the malware. Why? Why use a... whatever. SOC attempted to get even more details from him, including getting him on a call. He stated he was unavailable for a call and later became unresponsive. And around 10:20 p.m., they contained his device. So, yeah, within 30 minutes, they were like, uh-uh, and cut him off. The SOC analyst indicated the loader of malware, quote, may have been intentional by the user, unquote, and that the group, quote, suspected he may be an insider threat, nation-state actor, unquote, the blog post said. Quote, we shared the collected data through our friends at Mandiant, leading global cybersecurity expert, and the FBI to coordinate our initial findings. Turns out it was a fake IT worker from North Korea, unquote, Soderman wrote. KnowBefore said it can't provide much detail because of the FBI investigation, but the person hired for the job may have logged into the company computer remotely from North Korea. That would actually explain the Raspberry Pi. So what would have happened there is they would have shipped the Mac to whatever the address they listed was, and then whoever the guy in North Korea was probably using the Pi as a KVM. There's a couple of different projects to let you use the Pi to remotely control another computer. They're not very expensive. People set them up for doing like remote management and stuff like that. But so that's likely what was really going on there is, you know, it's like, hey, you're going to get this laptop in the mail, hook this thing up to it, we'll send you $100. Probably more than $100, but you know what I mean. Just let it run in the corner and we'll pay you. All right, let's, you have anything on that, or we do Dojo here real quick?
No, I'm good.
Time for Dojo. Yo!
Hadouken! Okay, what I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is really funny. Well, funny's not it's cool is what it is, but it's also kind of comical. It's called Pi D Painter. And what this is this guy has recreated Deluxe Paint, the old Amiga painting program that kind of predates Photoshop. He recreated it in Python.
Yeah, that's neat.
And you can download it. It's an executable. I mean, of course, it's Python. It'll run on damn near anything. Looks like he's been working on it for a while. Repo's several years old. He's keeping it up to date. The last release looked like it was September of last year for official releases. But yeah, I mean, it's so if you need something to do some pixel art and you want to do some old school like pixel art or old school low color editing, stuff like that, and like, you know, working on a, say you're doing like a game or 8-bit or something like that, this would be a nice little tool for doing that. So, anyways, thought it was cool, especially because they're recreating an old Amiga program in Python, which is just awesome. Anyways, that's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream we're always working on, Peer Decking every Thursday, Galaxy 15 radio site, and the BBS. Tonight in the IRC, we had Al Hazard, Psychros, myself, Sardonyx, and She. Madman, closing thoughts.
I kind of want to make a Mario side scroller with this now.
You also want to grab Godot, which is a free open source game engine to make it a lot easier to instead of trying to, you know, code it by hand. Are you closing thoughts?
If you're looking for something interesting to watch this weekend, check out an old movie called Vanishing Point. Very good.
Chopper's also on Tubi. Well, do something about a serial killer.
Wow. All right, sound effects time.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
God hates Australia.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.